All names, characters, events, and times are strictly coincidental and completely dreamed up by our subconscious. Dreams can be influenced by personal experiences and the media. However, the events in our dreams are completely ours. Some dreams may be upsetting or disturbing to some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Thanks for joining us, and remember, it's just a dream.
Podcast where we share our dreams and sometimes even analyze yours. My name is Howell, and thank you so much for joining me tonight as I tell you another one of my crazy dreams. I really appreciate it. Hello, 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 my beautiful sun, moon, and stars. How are you? I hope you're having an amazing day, night, evening, afternoon, whatever time it is when you're listening to this. I'm just so glad that you're here with me tonight. Hello, 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 hello. How are you, my sun, moon, and stars, my beautiful doves? How are you? I hope you're having an amazing day, year, millennia. Like, I just hope you're doing so good. Okay, I hope you're having an amazing time, and I hope you're drinking your water unless you're fasting. Then I understand, and just drink a lot of water after you break your fast and between you not fasting and when you're about to fast again. Otherwise, you'll get dry poops. You'll get really dry poops. Okay? Your stomach will get very dry and you'll have really dry poops. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just letting you know. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. But yeah. Hey. I'm doing okay. I'm kind of in a sour mood today. So, hopefully it doesn't influence me telling the dream today, but I am in a very sour mood. I started my period. I'm not happy that I started my period. I literally feel like I just had my period. I literally feel like I just had it and now it's back. And she's annoying me. She's annoying me. She's ticking me off. And so now everything's annoying me. And also, I'm still waiting to get paid from one of my many jobs because I'm employed in like so many places and I work so much. But I don't have the money. I don't have the money to show that I'm working. Like, my mom literally roasted me the other day. And she's like, I've never seen someone work so much and don't have the money to, like, show it. And I'm like, I know. Because a lot of my jobs are very late with paying me. Like, I have to wait months on end just to receive a paycheck. And it's annoying. And it's like, damn. And then when the paycheck fucking comes, like, that's when all my bills are due. So then all the money is just gone. And so then I don't have any money to even buy, like, what I need. And what I need is, like, groceries. And I can't even do that because my paycheck for the month is gone. And I gotta wait till next month. And I'm currently looking for another job so I can have more stable income. And then I just find myself in the same predicament. Ugh. And I can't stop thinking about strawberries. I can't stop thinking about strawberries. It's very annoying. I don't know if you guys experience this, but when I'm on my period, I get these weird cravings. Like, they're like pregnancy cravings, except I'm not pregnant. So they're period cravings. And my current period craving is strawberries, and all I can think about is strawberries. Like, I'm thinking about them 24/7, and I just want to eat strawberries. I literally want to drown myself in strawberries. That's all I want to do, is just eat strawberries till I freaking die. And that's all I can think about. And even right now, I'm looking at my stupid mic and it kind of looks like a strawberry, and I just want to do that to my mic. This isn't a way to live, dude. This isn't a way to live. It's all I'm thinking about all the time. Like, even when I'm like online shopping because I needed to buy something, and I like was just scrolling And then I blinked and I looked at my cart and it was just filled with strawberry things. And not even like food. It was just like strawberry clothing, strawberry bed sheets, like strawberry like just trinkets. And it's just like this isn't it. But it's gonna be like this for the next 8 days until I'm off my period. And I can go back to being a normal human being. Yeah. So that's what I'm dealing with. I hope you're having a more amazing day than me. And you know what? I think I'll feel a lot better once we get into this week's dream. In today's episode, dun 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 dun, I will be sharing a dream that I had in middle school called I Run to You. And I had this dream twice. The first time I had it was, like I said, in middle school. And I only remembered the tail end of the dream. And the second time I had it was actually like August of 2021 when I was still in college. And that time I remembered the entire dream. And I just thought the dream was like really cool. It's a sci-fi dream. And one thing about me, I love sci-fi. I love sci-fi. I feel like it's just so good. It's so good. Like, I love sci-fi. Any show I've watched, regardless of what country it comes from, like, you can't do sci-fi wrong. Like, you have to really try. And I mean really try to fuck up sci-fi. Like, really. You have to put your whole ussy into trying to fuck up sci-fi. Because it's like, you can't fuck up that genre. It's so good. One of my favorite shows that I mentioned that is sci-fi, I would say sci-fi-esque, is the 4400. I talk about this show religiously. Another show that I mentioned in my slumber party bonus episode with Elle, it's like my favorite Korean drama. I don't want to say of all time, but like it's my favorite Korean drama that I rewatch a lot. I really love this Korean drama, and it's a sci-fi drama called The Silent Sea, and it's on Netflix, and it has Bae Doona in it, and I love Bae Doona. Anything Bae Doona is in, I'm watching. Okay, I'm watching. And that is such a good sci-fi drama. I'm going to say something a little controversial. If you also watched the show, I did not like the way it ended. I think they kind of pussied out with the ending. I was hoping they were going to go like full scorched earth with it, but they didn't. So I was kind of upset about it. Also, my favorite character got killed. So I was a little bit upset about it. And I'm not going to tell you who my favorite character is. You're just gonna have to figure out which one was my favorite, okay? But yeah, they kind of pussied out with the ending a little bit because they wanted to give it like an ambiguous, like open ending that's kind of happy. But I was like, no, let's go scorched earth. But yeah, I love sci-fi and stuff, and this is a sci-fi dream, but it's also kind of like a melodrama. It's kind of like a soap opera-esque dream. And yeah, I mentioned in the last episode that like this dream is a long time coming. I literally mentioned it on Jennifer's podcast. If you don't know who Jennifer is, she is my podcast bestie, and she also has a podcast called the Dream On Podcast. And in one of her episodes that I was on, specifically the episode that aired December 19th of 2022, I mentioned this dream, and I mentioned how like I'm gonna be sharing it on the podcast soon. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a lie, but it wasn't a truth either. But yeah, it's here, and I'm excited to share it to you guys. I think it's a cool dream. It was a very intense dream, and there's only one thing I don't like about the dream that I'm going to get into. But first, I have to give you guys a quick trigger warning. It's also in the description box of this episode, but just to remind you guys, trigger warning for mentions of bullying and mentions of suicide, specifically suicide ideation, suicidal thoughts, and suicide attempts. So if you don't want to hear any of those topics, that is completely fine. I completely understand. Just click off this episode. I won't be mad at you. Check out the other episodes on this podcast. There's a lot of great content on here. Might I suggest the zombie apocalypse dream that I had called Just the Two of Us? That's my favorite. So go check that out. And without further ado, let's just get into the dream. So this dream starts with me working on a spaceship. specifically the spaceship SS Soma. And this specific spaceship's like job is it's on an indefinite trip basically around the Milky Way, kind of protecting it and those who live inside the Milky Way. So its job and the job of the crew is to basically be like the, not the Marine Corps, they're basically like the Coastal Guard of space. So you know how like for the Coast Guard, their job is to basically like enforce the law and to protect life and property at sea. That's basically our job, but in space, is to enforce the like space laws and, you know, protect the life and property that is in space and make sure nothing happens. And if war were to break out in space, we would be like the first line of defense, you know? So it's a pretty important job. But the only thing is, like, space war and, like, galactical aliens trying to, like, invade the Milky Way and all the planets in our solar system isn't a thing that really happens. It's not a very common thing that happens. It rarely ever happens. Like, it only happened, like, one time. So, although our job is important, because, like, everyone's basically following the law and not doing anything, it's also pretty boring. So it's just basically us in space kind of just doing nothing. Just kind of waiting for something bad to happen, which is good. That is a good thing that nothing bad is happening, because we are supposed to be there for if something really bad happens, right? So it's good that nothing bad is happening, but also it's boring. It's boring. There's nothing to do in space. It's boring. It makes it worse for me, though, because I did not sign up for this job willingly. This is not something that I wanted to do. I am here on the SS Soma basically against my will. I have to be here because it was either be on the SS Soma for the rest of my life or go to jail. Now, let me explain. Before I was basically forced to be on the SS Soma, I was living my worst life. Not my best life, but my worst life. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. The biggest thing that happened that forever changed my life was there was a giant house fire that happened, resulting in my entire family dying. And if you know, if you're an avid listener, you know that family is the most important thing to me. So having that happen and be the only survivor of that fire, I had to deal with horrible, horrible survivor guilt and being so upset that I survived and wishing that I had died with them and dealing with that grief and kind of not having a support system anymore. And I didn't really have any friends in this dream. I had no friends, actually. Zero. Less than zero. No friends at all. Every job that I got, I ended up like losing and just self-sabotaging, and I just didn't have a will to live. So I tried to take my own life. And the thing is, in this universe, in this dream, and I know this is actually like true in some states, but in this universe and in this dream, it was against the law to try to take your own life because you are not seen as a person but property of the government. So you're not supposed to damage property. So me trying to take my life was seen as like a federal offense, crime. And so the cops came, saved me, then arrested me, and I went to jail for a while. And then I had my court hearing, and they're like, look, we can either send you to jail or you can go on this trip on the SS Soma and serve your country and the planet indefinitely. So for me, I'm never going to leave the SS Soma. I'm going to be staying on the SS Soma for the rest of my life till I die. And so I chose that option because I'm not going to survive in jail. I'm not built for jail. And so that's why I'm on the SS Soma. I'm basically serving my life sentence on the SS Soma because I tried to take my own life. Kind of ironic when you think about it. I tried to take my life, and as punishment, they're forcing me to live. I mean, it's kind of funny when you think about it, like just a little bit, like just a little. Oh my God, don't look at me like that. Like just a little bit. It's kind of funny. Like the government got jokes Anyway, because I wasn't originally supposed to be on this ship, I don't have the necessary qualifications that the other people have on this ship. So, like, some of the people on this ship are like medaled military folk. Like, they have served this country for years and they have so many awards and Purple Hearts and just like accolades. There are like famous scientists on this ship who are like excited to be here because this is their chance to study like new creatures and everything. They have like some of the best doctors on this ship, and then there's me. There's little old me. So my job is basically to just like take care of crew, keep the ship clean, make sure the crew is fed. I make all of their meals. I clean the dishes. I clean the gross ass toilets. That's basically my job because that's all I can do. I don't know how to do anything else, so that's all I do. I also write down the captain's reports. Every time she like needs someone to write down her reports, I do it. And that's pretty much it. That's like literally all I do on the ship. So when I tell you I'm bored, I'm bored. Literally nothing happens on the ship. And my relationship with the crew is a little bit weird. So with some of the crew, excluding me, there are six people. Well, and I'll count them as a person. Six other people on this ship. Captain Morgana, who's the captain of the ship, she's really sweet. She's really nice to me. She's the only one who knows like the reason why I'm on this ship, right? Like the full reason. Everyone else only knows that I am a federal criminal who committed a crime and my punishment is to be on this ship. That's all they know. But she knows the crime that I committed. And it sounds crazy to call it a freaking crime, but that's what it is in this dream. But she knows what it is and she has sympathy for me. She honestly just really pities me. So she's really nice to me and she really trusts me because, like, I'm not gonna try anything. I'm stuck on this ship for the rest of my life. I'm not going anywhere. So she's gonna, we're gonna, it's just me and her, besties for life. So she's really nice on me. She always checks up on me. She was really kind to me and all of that jazz. Then we have the lieutenant of the ship, which is Lieutenant Michelson. He hates me. He thinks of me as scum because he sees me as nothing but a dirty criminal, right? Mind you, if he knew what the crime was, he wouldn't be saying that, but he doesn't. He just knows I committed a federal offense, and so he thinks of me as less than scum, just complete dirt. He doesn't even call me by my name. He calls me you or it. That's it. And he is awful. One thing I hated about him in this dream is that he would never flush. Oh my God, he would never flush ever. And so one day I like had the courage to tell him like, "Hey, like can you just like make sure like after using the bathroom, can you just flush, you know?" And he like turned to me and he was like, "You flush my shit. That's your job." And walked away. So yeah, I don't fuck with Mr. Michelson. Mr. Michelson don't fuck with me. We don't like each other. His job is basically to be the lieutenant, I mean the captain's right-hand man, kind of mend the ship and everything. He's the one who pilots all of that jazz. Then we have Junior. He's the mechanic of the crew. He takes care of all of the mechanics. He's really nice to me as well. I don't really talk to him, but he smiles to me and he always gives me like a sympathetic look. Michelson's also kind of mean to him as well, because he's a little bit timid. Then you have Anna, who is the scientist, who's like an expert with everything. And she's really nice to me. She will talk to me from time to time. A lot of times she will request me to like help her with like just like organizing her like science area and stuff. And she'll like notice that like I'm interested in what she's doing. So she'll like teach me some things from time to time. And then we have Candy. And I wasn't gonna count Candy as a person because technically she is like an android. And she's like a part of the ship. So she doesn't really count as a person, but she is very humanoid and she looks human. And the more I hang out with her and teach her about human life, like, the more humanized she becomes. But she's basically a part of the ship. Her job is basically maintenance of the ship, letting us know if there's anything wrong with the ship, all of that stuff. And I spend most, if not all, of my time with Candy if I'm not taking care of making dinner, breakfast, lunch, or cleaning up after the crew. I'm with Candy, and she's kind of my best friend on this ship. And I just tell her everything there that she needs to know about human life, what it means to be human, all of those things. And there's one last person that I did not forget. This person's name is Jackson. I hate Jackson. I hate Jackson so freaking much. Everyone loves Jackson, though. Everyone loves Jackson. He's the doctor of the crew. And he's like a really well-known doctor. He has many accolades as well. And I hate his fucking guts. I hate him so much. Everyone loves him on this ship. Like, he's conventionally attractive. You know, he's good looking and he's very charismatic. He's very funny. So he gets along with everyone, especially Michelson. Like, the two of them are very buddy-buddy. Basically, everyone loves him. I hate him. The reason why I hate him is because he was my bully. He was my bully from elementary school all the way to middle school and high school. He was my bully. And not only in this dream, but also in real life. Obviously, I'm using a fake name for him. That's why I'm calling him Jackson. But I remember his name. I will never forget his name because he made my life a living fucking hell. This kid was a fucking menace. I don't even know what I fucking did to him, but like, he would just make my life awful. He did so many awful things to me, and yeah, he was awful. So in this dream, he was my bully from elementary to high school, but in real life, this kid bullied me from pre-K since like kindergarten. From preschool all the way till middle school. And then when I got to high school, I finally got rid of him and I didn't have to deal with him anymore. And he was awful. He used to like pull my hair. He would hit me. He would get everyone in the class to gang up on me and bully me. He would steal my things. He would call me awful, horrible names all the freaking time. He literally made my life a living hell to the point where like I didn't even like going to school. I hated going to school, and I'd always try to find like an excuse not to go to school because I didn't want to get harassed by him or his little posse. And sometimes he would get the entire class to like gang up on me. And the thing is, because of the household that I was raised in, I was always told to never fight back when I was getting bullied, because I used to like in kindergarten, like I would fight back, but my parents would get really mad at me and I would get in a lot of trouble for fighting back and defending myself. So eventually I just stopped, and that's when the bullying got worse. Like, it got so much worse, to the point where I, in real life, tried to take my own life, because that's how bad the bullying was. That's how bad they made it for me, that like I was like, I'm just going to try to take my own life because I don't want to be here anymore. And there was a point in my life where like I was trying every day to like end my own life. And every day I woke up, I would like start crying, because I was so upset that it didn't work and I would have to go back to school and deal with Jackson and his bullying, because it was so awful. And I didn't know what to do because he was like the popular kid, right? And it was to the point where like even the teachers would take his side. Like, I had no one to help me or protect me at that time. Like, no one. I would go to school and get bullied all day by the students, and then sometimes even the teachers would join in. I remember specifically, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but specifically there was one like after school teacher who like just had so much fun tormenting me. And I remember one time I had a really bad day after school, and I took the bus home, and he was like one of the like bus monitors, and he saw me, and I was sitting there trying not to cry, and he hit me as hard as he could. I was a child, He took his hand, this grown man took his hand and hit me as hard as he could on my chest and told me to not sleep on the bus because I'll miss my stop. And like walked away laughing. And like all the kids who like really like this teacher were like laughing with him. And I like started to cry because I didn't know what to do because I was a child. And that's another thing that pissed me off, because anytime I like talk about like when I was little and being bullied, people are like, well, you should have stood up for yourself. Like, you just let it happen. And I was like, yeah, I was a kid. I didn't know what to do because it wasn't just the kids who were doing it. It wasn't just Jackson and his posse. The teachers would also like join in on it. And then I'd go home and tell my parents, and they'd tell me to just let it happen because they're like, don't stand up for yourself. You're going to make it worse. So then I wouldn't. And then it would just get worse. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I was a child. I was a kid. How the fuck was I supposed to know? Sorry, I'm like getting like I'm like having flashbacks and I'm like getting upset and like getting like actually like worked up about it. But like I remember it so clearly, all the things that Jackson like did to me. Yeah. So okay, sorry. I had to go like take a breather because I was getting really heated and emotional. So I had to go take a fiver. I am back. And I did want to say that that teacher who hit me in the chest, that teacher later got arrested and charged with grooming a student and having sexual relations with that student in the bathrooms at one of our field trips. Yeah, just wanted to let you guys know. So he's a pedophile. And I wish him the worst in jail. I don't know if he's still in jail, but I wish him the worst, because we were definitely in middle school, like 6th, 7th grade. So like what, 13, 14? So yeah, fuck him forever. Where was I? Oh yes, back to the dream. So I hated Jackson a lot. And mind you, the stuff that he did in the dream were a lot less than what he did in real life. But me in the dream had the memories of like what he did to me in real life. So I hated him extra hard. I hated him extra hard. And the first time he saw me when I was on the ship, he like pulled me aside and he was like, don't talk to me. Don't look at me. I don't want people to know that we've known each other in the past. Like, I don't want you to like associate with me at all. Like, don't make me look bad, you know, kind of thing. And I was like, I'm not going to talk to you. Trust me. And do you think he stopped bullying me once I was on this ship and he was surrounded by his crew? No, of course he didn't. He was just more like subtle with it. So whether it was like shoulder checking me when I walked past him, causing me to drop all my stuff, and then him going like, oops, sorry. Or him going around and telling like the crew, like, yeah, like, mind you, he told me to like not associate with him because he doesn't want people to know that we know each other. But then he went around telling the entire crew that, like, yeah, I'm not surprised to see her here and see how her life ended up because we went to school together and there was always something off about her, like, to all the crew, right? And it also didn't help the fact that because I was labeled like a federal criminal, and specifically my crime of trying to take my own life, I was not allowed to be around any sharp objects. Like, there could be no sharp objects around me. Everything I used had to be like dull. And so that made cooking extra freaking hard. But like that just kind of like confirmed to everyone's mind that like I was a violent criminal and I must have done something like super awful to be here. And like I must have been a killer or some shit. Right. And then like he wasn't helping it because he was making it worse, being like, yeah, like she had violent tendencies in school. Right. But he didn't explain that the violent tendency was because he kept punching me in the face or some shit. Like, oh, I hate Jackson. And like he would always like him and Michelson would make really mean jokes about me, like at the breakfast table, at the dinner table all the time, because of course I had to sit and eat with them, but I had to sit like a few like seats away from them, so they'd be sitting at the table and I'm a few seats away with them, and then Candy would always sit next to me because she's sweet and kind. Oh, by the way, Candy was meant to like mean something, like it was like an acronym for something. I have no idea what it was though. I didn't write it down. But if you can figure it out, or make one up for me, that'd be great. But yeah, Candy would like sit next to me while we eat, and they would like talk about me as if I wasn't there, and like make really mean jokes about my appearance and like how I got here and how fucked my life must have been for me to like commit a crime, or like, wow, like jail must be so bad if she chose this over jail or whatever, like we're gonna make her life a living hell basically. And everyone would like laugh about it, like despite the fact that like Anna and Junior were like kind of nice to me, they would also like joke about it too and be a part of the joke and like laugh about the jokes. Like the only person who wouldn't laugh was Morgana, and she would always like try to change the subject or just be like, we're not gonna talk about this right now, like you guys need to be nicer, and that was it. So yeah, he sucked. And then one day, he kind of just stopped. Like, he just stopped doing that. He stopped shoulder checking me. He stopped making these jokes with Michelson. At one point, he just stopped, like, hanging out with Michelson altogether. And every time he saw me in the hallway, he would stop and look at me. And then he would just turn around and, like, walk away quickly. And I'd be confused. But I was like, this is a lot better than, you know, being harassed by him. I'll take it, you know? And at one point, he even defended me when Michelson was screaming at me, because one of my jobs is to clean their, like, living quarters. So I cleaned his living quarters, and Michelson was really mad because he's like, you misplaced this, like, thing that I had. And I don't even remember what the thing is. I'm going to say it's, like, his notebook. So he was like, you stole my notebook. And I was like, I didn't steal your notebook. He's like, I know you did. You're a filthy criminal. I know you stole my notebook. Where is it? And he was, like, manhandling me and, like, grabbing me. He's like, give me my fucking notebook. And Jackson was like, your blue notebook, you let me borrow it. It's in my hand. And he's like, oh. And he was like, apologize to Hawa. And he's like, what? I'm not apologizing to it. And he's like, it's not it. It's Hawa. She has a name, and you're going to apologize to her, Michelson, because that was inappropriate and unprofessional. So apologize. And so he like looked at Jackson weird and looked at me, and he was like, whatever, sorry. And like shoulder checked me and walked away. And I looked over at Jackson confused, and he just like looked at me, and he had this like weird look on his face, like kind of like a mix of like guilt but like uneasiness, and he just like walked away. And I was like, okay, like it's still fuck you forever, Jackson. Like, I appreciate the help, but it's fuck you forever. It's always gonna be fuck you forever, Jackson. Anyways, fast forward to one random day on the ship, and I make this really big and elaborate breakfast because it's actually Candy's birthday. And yeah, I know, Candy's an android. She can't eat any of the food. And I understand that. But I still wanted to celebrate Candy's and the ship's birthday. So I made this really elaborate breakfast with things that, like, I asked Candy, like, what foods, if you could eat, would you want to eat? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, obviously you can't eat foods. You're an android. But you see us eating every day, 3 times a day. So is there any foods that you've seen and you're like, this is very intriguing, like, I want to try this. If I were to become human one day, like, what foods would you eat? And she gave me, like, a small list. And they're very random foods. But one of them was waffles. So I made waffles. I made eggs. I made some, like, spaghetti. Because she always said that, like, Michelson, one thing about Michelson, he loves spaghetti. He loves my spaghetti. Michelson hates my guts, but he loves my cooking. That man will be face down in a plate of food that I make. He will lick that plate clean and then throw the plate at my face. Like, that's one thing about him. He cannot get enough of my cooking, but he hates the fact that I cooked it. But he likes the cooking. So, yeah. So she was like, oh, spaghetti. Because every time Michelson eats it, she's like, it looks really appealing. And she's like, well, I like the color pink. So I make a bunch of like pink, like little dishes. And so by the time everyone comes down for breakfast, they see like this big array of food. And they're like, whoa, what's the occasion? Like, you really were chefing out. And I'm like, oh, well, it's the ship's birthday. It's Candy's birthday. And I asked her what she wanted for breakfast, and this is what she said. So that's what we're having for breakfast today. And of course, Michelson's sitting there like, that's so stupid. Like, you're just wasting resources, right? But he finished the food. He finished the plate of pasta. He had seconds, thirds, and fourths. So shut the fuck up, Michelson. And they all eat silently, and I eat my little small plate. And as I'm eating it, I'm like quietly describing to Candy like the flavors of each food. So I would eat the waffle and I'd be like, yes, so a waffle, it's kind of doughy. It's like cake, kind of. I'm very bad at explaining foods, but like that's what I was like trying to do. I was trying to explain it to her a lot better than I'm explaining it to you. And she'd be so intrigued and so interested. And she's like, that's so interesting. That's so amazing. It's so like phenomenal that the human tongue can like experience all these flavors, right? And the whole time I can feel Jackson looking at me from time to time, and I'm ignoring it because what did I say before my sun, moon, and stars? It's fuck Jackson forever over here. So afterwards, everyone is done eating and they kind of just leave their plates on the table and I clean up after them. So I watch as everyone leaves and I start cleaning up after them, and I suddenly notice that Jackson didn't leave. He's still there. And I'm like, can I help you? Did you want seconds or something? And he's like, no, I don't want anything. And I'm like, okay. And so I keep cleaning and he watches me for a second. And then he also grabs dishes and he starts putting them in the sink. And I'm like, you don't need to do that. I can do it myself. And he doesn't respond. And he just keeps putting dishes in the sink with me. And eventually I start cleaning the dishes and he helps me clean the dishes. And I tell him again, like, you don't need to help me. I don't want your help. And he doesn't respond and he just keeps helping me. So eventually we get into this rhythm because, mind you, I made a huge feast. And so there are a lot of dishes and a lot of leftovers. And because this is like a futuristic ship, like there's real food and we have like a fridge and everything, like it's all good, guys. Don't worry. But there was a lot of dishes. So we kind of got into a rhythm where I would like soap up the dishes and scrub the dishes and hand it to him. And he would like rinse them and put them away. And so we did that. And then eventually I got done. And usually it takes me a while to do the dishes, but like I got them done in like 10 minutes. And so I dry everything up and I start dusting everything and making sure everything is clean. And I look over to him and I'm like, I mean, thank you. And I start to leave and he like blurts out to me like, was it my fault? And I'm like, what? And he's like, is it my fault that you're here? And I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? What do you mean? And he's like struggling to like look at me. Like I'm like starting to notice that like he's struggling to make eye contact at me. Like he's looking down at his feet and he's like shifting his weight between his two feet. And he's like, well, you know, I looked at your report and I was just wondering. And I'm like, what? You looked at my report? How did you even get access to it? It's sealed. And he's like darting his eyes around and I walk over to him and I'm like, stop doing this and tell me. And he like mumbles out like, well, like Michelson wanted to know like what crime you committed, because you know it's our right to know what kind of criminal we have on our ship. And so I snuck into Captain McGrana's like office and I looked at your report and I saw the crime that you committed, and I was just wondering if like. And he trails off and I start laughing. Bitch, I start laughing. I start keying, okay? I am cackling. And he's like, what? What's so funny? And I'm like, oh, I get what you're trying to do. You feel bad. And he's like, what? And I'm like, you feel bad. You think this is your fault. And he's like, well, is it? Is it my fault? And he's like looking at me intensely in the eye. And I start laughing even harder. Like I'm doubled over cackling, laughing so hard. And he's like, stop laughing. And I'm like, no, it's so funny. This is so fucking funny. And I'm like wiping the tears from my eyes. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so funny. And he's like, what's so funny? And I'm like, you think that helping me clean the dishes suddenly makes you a good person? You think suddenly standing up to Michelson after months and months of letting him harass me, and you like joining in suddenly like resolves you of all of your sins, that I'm like gonna suddenly like forgive you for the years and years and years of trauma that you gave me? Like, that is so funny. You should be a fucking comedian. Oh my gosh, like the actual audacity of you. Like, this is fucking hilarious. And he's like, listen, Hawa. And I'm like, no, I think I'm done listening to you. Like, you are actual. And I end up going on this like huge rant, just being like, you're like a horrible, awful, terrible person. I can't believe that you thought fucking cleaning dishes and like standing up for me a few times was gonna like absolve you of all the horrible things that you did, and you just want me to sit here and wash the blood off your hands and be like, oh my god, no, king, you didn't do anything, oh my god, king, fix your crown, king, because I'm not gonna fucking do that. And I just go on this huge rant, and at one point I stop like laughing and I start to cry, and I just start like asking, like, why did you treat me like that? Like, what did I do to you for you to like treat me so horribly? Because, like, you would think I did something so bad to Jackson the way he would torment me. Like, I have no idea what I did to this man. And he would just treat me awfully. And he didn't have anything to say either. And that's probably, like, for real, the reason why he didn't have anything to say is because, you know, it's a dream. And I don't know the reason why Jackson did that. So, obviously, his dream self, his dream version of him in my dream, isn't going to know either. But like, I was just like, I don't understand how you did this to me. I didn't do anything to you. Like, you could have just left me alone. And even now, like, we're fucking adults on this stupid fucking ship and you still couldn't leave me alone. It's only until you find out that like I tried to take my own life that all of a sudden you feel horrible and you're doing this because you think you have blood on your hands and da-da-da-da, right? And so I, after that super long speech of me just going in on him, I'd like look at him and I just repeat the same thing that he told me when we first met on the ship. And I'm like, don't look at me, don't talk to me, don't associate with me. I don't want people to know that like we know each other. And I try to walk away, but all of a sudden the ship starts to shake violently. And it shakes so violently that I and Jackson are like thrown off our feet and crash into the floor hard. And all the lights turn off. And the ship continues to shake. Stuff from the kitchen goes flying. And I try to cover myself. And Jackson ends up like jumping on top of me to protect me from everything that's falling. And eventually it stops. The turbulence stops. And we like look around and all the lights go red. And a siren goes off. So I look at Jackson and I push him off because ew. And I immediately start running to the bridge to figure out what's going on. And it's complete chaos there. Like, it's shaking violently. Captain Morgana is shouting commands to Michelson, who's trying to, like, get manual control of the ship again. And Junior is, like, looking at the mechanics and doing his little mechanic thingy. And Anna is, like, I don't know what Anna was doing. But Anna was doing something and I ran in. I'm like, what's going on? Are we being attacked? And Morgana's like, I don't know. Something happened. And before she can say anything, the ship like jolts violently and we go flying to the other half of the ship, to one side of the ship. And then it jolts violently again and we are sent to the other half of the ship. And I'm like, is there anything I can do? And Michelson's like, yeah, shut up and get out of the way. And I'm like, oop. Understood. And so I let them do their little thing because I have no idea what's going on. And Jackson comes in and he's like, oh, is there anything I can do to help? And he's like, everyone just shut up and let me figure this out. And so he's trying to figure it out and he finally gets manual control and starts like driving the ship. And we are being jolted left and right and we're just like hanging on as tightly we can to like anything so we don't just like get like tossed around. And eventually the ship finally stabilizes and the red lights turn back to normal and the siren stops. And Michelson takes a deep breath and he goes, okay, I think we're good. And Morgana goes, I don't think so. And he's like, what's wrong? And she looks at everyone and she looks at Michelson and she goes, common area now, let's go. And he's like, what? I just got control of the ship. And she's like, put it on autopilot and come to the common area right now. We need to talk. And just by her tone, he shuts the fuck up, puts it on autopilot, and immediately follows her to the common area. And we can't hear what they're saying, but whatever she said, he was not happy with, because we hear her like explain something to him. He gets really mad, starts yelling. She yells back at him and then tries to calm him down. And he like, this is like the first time I heard like genuine concern in Michelson's voice, like genuine concern. And then later on, like when it feels like literally an eternity, I think it was only like 10 minutes, but literally an eternity later, Michelson comes back to the bridge and he's like, guys, come to the common area. We need to talk. This is an emergency meeting. And we're like, is it that bad? And he's like, just come to the common area. We need to talk. So we all go to the common area, and Captain Morgana just has a really grim look on her face. And we're like, what is it? What's wrong? And she's like, there's no easy way to say this. And we're like, okay, you're scaring us. Like, was that like an act of war? Like, what was that? And she's like, no, that was just a simple like asteroid shower. That was just a bunch of asteroids. We got caught in an asteroid shower. We should have been informed by the computer, but it didn't. It happens sometimes, but that's not the issue. The issue was during that asteroid shower, our oxygen tank got hit. And so we're running out of oxygen. We only have 6 to 7 more hours of oxygen left on this ship before we're in like serious critical conditions. So we need to evacuate. And we're like, okay, like, fine. Like, we can evacuate. We practiced the evacuation procedure like 100 times. We're good. And she like bites her lips and looks around and she's like, yeah, except there's one problem. There aren't enough escape pods for everyone. And we're like, excuse me? And she's like, there's not enough escape pods for everyone. So 2 people have to stay back. And chaos erupts. But I think this is a perfect place to just pause and digest. Have a little breaky break, get our snacky snacks, get our drinky drinks. My neighbors came and dropped off a fresh, like a hot, fresh loaf of sourdough bread. So I think I might munch, munch, crunch, crunch on it. And of course, I'm going to drink my water. So you get your snacky snacks, you get your drinky drinks, and we will be right back after this quick break. We are back, baby. Woo! I hope you... Oh my god, why does my voice sound like that? Ooh. Girl, let me cough real quick. Alright, there we go. I'm so sorry you had to experience that. I apologize. I don't know if this is any better. I don't know what's going on. But I hope you enjoyed that quick little breaky break. Got your snacky snacks. Got your drinky drinks. All of that jazz. Got your water. Unless you're fasting, but you should be drinking water regardless, especially when you break your fast. You better be like guzzling down by the gallon water, okay? Remember what I said in the beginning of the episode? Dry poops. You don't want that. It's not fun. My breaky break, I told you guys, my neighbors brought me a fresh, like a literal fresh loaf. Like when they handed it to me, it was still warm, of sourdough bread. So I munched on like 2 slices, and of course I had some strawberry ice cream because I have this strawberry hankering hyperfixation. Or is it, maybe it's just a period craving. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah, I had some strawberry ice cream and it was good. I really want to make, I used to make like religiously strawberry milk, like fresh strawberry milk. I would like I got this recipe from like a YouTube channel that I used to watch all the time, and I would like mash up some strawberries and make like a strawberry syrup, and then I would put milk in it and just drink it like that. And that was like my go-to thing. Some podcast lore that I should have told you in the bonus episode that I did with Elle, but the whole reason why this like breaky break, snacky snack, drinky drink exists is because during the 2020, when me and Elle used to call each other every night and tell each other dreams, we would like prepare snacks on the phone. So while we're FaceTiming, we would be like talking and catching up, and we would prepare like snacks. And my go-to snacky snack and drinky drink was strawberry milk and cookies. And so I would be preparing that. And then once we were done getting our snacky snacks and drinky drinks, we would like sit down and be like, okay, it's dream time. You go first. And Elle would always go first with her dream. And then I'd go second with my dream. And that's how we kind of structured the podcast a little bit. So in the first three episodes, Elle always went first with her dream. And then there would be like a little break to get like snacky snacks and drinky drinks and refresh our snacks and drinks. And then I'd go second with my dream, because my dream was always more like horror based. So I always let her go first because I always wanted to hear her dream. So that's why it exists in the podcast, because we wanted to like emulate our FaceTime calls as much as possible. So yeah, just thought I'd let you know, because I completely forgot to mention it on our bonus episode. If you haven't listened to that and you want to know all the lore of the podcast and why certain things are the way they are, go check out Slumber Party. It's our bonus episode. And yeah, strawberries. I can't stop thinking about strawberries. I'm so sorry. I'm like wanting to make strawberry milk again, or like strawberry tea. Like I want to make the strawberry syrup and put it in tea this time, because I feel like that'd be so good. I feel it could be so delicious. Oh my God. Okay, I need to stop thinking about strawberries. This is actually really bad. I feel like I'm fucking pregnant, but I know I'm not pregnant. But this feels like a pregnancy craving. Let's get back into the dream. So where we last left off, Morgana dropped a huge bomb of information on us. The reason why the ship was shaken and doing the Harlem Shake was because we got caught in an asteroid shower, which is weird on its own, because the ship is supposed to like inform us if we're about to get caught in an asteroid shower, or if we're nearing one. You know, that's the ship's job, to like inform us. So the fact that Candy didn't inform us right away was weird. That shouldn't have happened. But we got caught in an asteroid shower, and the oxygen tank on the ship got hit, and now we're slowly losing oxygen. So we only have a certain hour left of oxygen before we all die. So we need to escape the ship, right? The only problem is there's not enough escape pods for everyone, so two people have to stay on the ship. First of all, what the fuck? Second of all, what the fuck? And third of all, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, what? First of all, don't you think that is something that you should have checked before we like launched, right? Like before we launched into space, like, don't you think that's something you should have checked to make sure there's enough escape pods for everyone? Number two, it feels like Morgana knows, like she knew this, right? Because like the moment Michelson was like, oh, like we have to escape, she calls Michelson to the common area and informs him that there's not enough escape pods. So it's very clear that she knew from jump that we didn't have enough escape pods. So what the fuck? And third of all, if you knew from jump that we did not have enough escape pods, why didn't you tell the rest of the crew, right? So that's where we are right now. So now everyone is freaking out and is like, what the fuck? What do you mean there's not enough escape pods? And Morgana is being very like, Morgana was being very frustrating. She was being very like using like the therapy voice and just being like, I'm so sorry, but two people have to stay on the ship. And don't worry, there's a rescue ship on the way. I already sent our coordinates. They're going to be here soon. So you guys will be rescued. But everyone on the ship already knows that we are too far out for this rescue ship to come in on time. This rescue ship is not a rescue ship. This rescue ship is gonna come here to pick up the bodies. Because by the time it gets here, the two people who stay on the ship are going to be dead. We're way too far out. And we only have like 6-7 hours of oxygen left. Like that rescue ship is like a day out. There's no way it's gonna come in time. So she's like trying to make us feel better, but it's not working, because we know And so obviously people are getting mad. And Michelson is like, how could you not have like checked? Like, why didn't you check before we launched? That's your job as captain, to check and make sure we have enough escape pods. And Junior's like, unless she already knew. And everyone looks at Junior and is like, huh? And is like, yeah, she knew. She must have known. Because I do the routine maintenance of the ship. And he explains to us that he does the routine maintenance of the ship. And so one of his things is to check the escape pods. And all the lights for the escape pods are green. So he would never assume that there is no escape pods there. So why would she assume that there are no escape pods, not enough escape pods, unless she knew from jump that we didn't have enough? Which then begs the question, why didn't you tell us? What, that's like, that's some pretty important information to like tell people that, hey, there's not enough escape pods. Just want to let you know. And she's like, she does the YouTuber like apology. Like, I just had a severe lapse in my judgment. And we're all like, yeah, the fuck you did. And Junior and Michelson are getting like really heated. Like Michelson is more so like yelling while Junior is just seething. And Anna starts to cry because this is a stressful situation, because what she's asking us is pretty simple. It's like, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out what she's asking. She's asking for two of us to sacrifice our life for the rest of the crew. That's what she's asking. She's asking us to be martyrs. And that's not an easy ask, but she's making it seem like it is. So it's coming off really disrespectful. And it's not fair, right? Because the people on this ship, the people on this crew, when they originally signed up, they signed up knowing that they were putting their life on the line for the planet. You know, just in case if there was a war to break out between like ancient aliens or whatever, we would be the first line of defense. So we are putting our lives on the line for our planet, and we knew that was the risk when getting on the ship. Well, they knew, not me. I wasn't supposed to be here originally. I'm a criminal. But this wasn't a part of it. This is just simple human error. Like, Captain Morgana fucked up, and now she wants us to cover for her fuck up, and that's not fair. And so people are just arguing, people are getting mad, and Captain Morgana is still trying to calm us down. And she's like, I already told you a rescue ship is going to be on their way. And everyone's like, bullshit, like fucking bullshit. Like, just say it with your fucking chest. Just say it with your chest. You want two of us to die for the rest of the crew. Just say that. Right. And so I speak up and I'm like, I'll stay on the ship. And everyone's heads turn towards me and they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I'll stay on the ship. I volunteer. I'll stay on the ship. Because remind you guys, I'm me, little old me, I'm just a criminal. I'm a criminal. I wasn't supposed to be on this ship originally. I'm serving my life sentence. And so if I escape off this ship, I'm just going to be put on another ship and then put on another ship for the rest of my life till I die. And so to me, this is a win-win situation. It's so fucked up, but it is. It's a win-win situation because all I want to do is see my family again. And so if this helps me get to see my family again, then fine, I'll do it. I volunteer as tribute, bitch. And Anna starts to cry and she's like, no, you shouldn't have to do this. Like, this isn't your burden. Like, she shouldn't be asking us this. This is not something she should be asking at all. You should not have to put your life on the line. And I'm like, it's okay. Like, I'm making this choice. Like, I want to stay on the ship. It's okay. And Morgana's like, Hawa, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I'm sure. I volunteer. And so she hugs me really tightly. And she's like, your country thanks you for your service and your bravery. The entire planet thanks you. And you will not be forgotten. Okay? I promise. And I'm like, thanks. And I like hug her back. And Jackson, mind you, he's been silent this entire time, but now he's standing up and he's like, no, no, this isn't happening. And Morgana breaks the hug and looks at him and is like, is everything okay? And he goes, no, it's not okay. Like, what the fuck? How will you not stay on this fucking ship? And I'm like, I made the choice. He's like, I don't give a fuck about your choice. Okay, you're not staying on this ship. If anyone stay on the ship, it should be Captain Morgana. And she's like, she like laughs. And she's like, really? I should stay on the ship? And he's like, the captain goes down with the ship. You know the saying. That's what you signed up for when you became captain of this crew. Okay? We are not martyrs. This is not what we signed up for. We're not going to die for a cause we didn't sign up for. Okay? You are going to stay on the ship because that's what you signed up for. That is your job as captain. You knew that when you became captain. And she's like, snaps back at him and is like, I have kids waiting for me on Earth. And he's like, oh, and the rest of us don't have things waiting for us on Earth? And in my head, I'm like, me personally, not me. I have nothing waiting for me on Earth. Me personally, there's nothing on Earth for me. All right. This is my best option. I'm sorry for laughing. Like, in the dream, it was very serious. But, like, I can, like, look back at it and see, like, how ridiculous it is. And I think that's just, like, a testament to show how healed I am in my, like, journey and with therapy and everything, that I can, like, look back at this dream and think of it as, like, this silly little dream. But, yeah. And Michelson is, like, trying to calm Jackson down. And he's like, yo, calm. It's okay. Calm down. Like, you don't have to defend. You don't have to defend it so hard, referring to me. And he's like, it has a name. It's Hawa. Her name is Hawa. And he's like, well, Hawa is a criminal. So she's doing a service. Like, this is good. And he's like, oh my God, for fuck's sake, she's not a criminal. And he exposes the real reason why I'm on this ship and my crime. So he basically tells everyone that the reason why I'm on this ship is because I tried to take my own life. And that's why I'm now deemed a criminal, because I tried to damage government property, aka me. And everyone goes silent and they're staring at me. And I am so angry at Jackson for telling everyone, because I didn't want anyone to know. Like, I was okay with everyone thinking that I was like a violent, evil criminal that fucking like eats babies for breakfast or some shit. Right? Like, I was fine with it. But now everyone's looking at me and now they have pity in their eyes. And now they feel bad for me. And now they're like, oh, oh no. You know? And that's not what I wanted. And so now I'm like even more mad at him for doing that. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's how I felt in the dream at that moment. It just felt like that was like my trauma and my thing to share to people when I feel ready to share it. Not for him to share and tell other people on my behalf. Especially because I repeated multiple times that I'm okay with staying on this ship. I want to stay on this ship. There's nothing for me on Earth. I want to stay on this ship. And he's just like not taking it for an answer. And like he feels like he needs to like redeem himself for all the shitty stuff that he did. When in actuality, maybe if he fucking apologized, that'd be a good start. Because he never apologized for anything that he did up to this point. Not at all. And so it just feels really fake and phony. And yeah, I was just really upset. And so I like glare at him and just walk out of the common area. And he's like, how? Wait. And I don't say anything and I walk off. And Morgana sighs and she goes, let's just take a 15-minute break. You guys need to digest this information. And when we come back, we can discuss who the other person will be that will stay on the ship. And so I leave and I immediately head to my sleeping quarters. And I bump into Candy the android. And Candy isn't looking great. Like, her facial features keep, like, glitching out in a very, like, uncanny way. So randomly, her, like, upper lip will just glitch upwards out of nowhere. Or her eye will just twitch. Or her eyebrow will just twitch randomly. Or her nose will just randomly, like, wrinkled up. Her facial expressions will just change randomly, as if, like, she can't control them. And I just choose to ignore it. And I'm like, hey, Candy, where have you been? Like, I've been worried about you. And she doesn't respond to my question. Instead, she, like, tells me, like, I should fight for a spot on the escape pod. And I'm like, oh, no, like, I'm going to stay. Like, I'm giving my spot to someone else on the crew. And she's like, no, you should fight for a spot on the escape pod. You should leave. You shouldn't stay here. And I'm like, oh, like, it's fine, Candy. And I like make this joke being like, oh, like, Candy, I told you I was going to spend the rest of my life with you on this ship. And I wasn't lying. And she's like, it's not safe for you here, Hawa. Like, you need to leave. And I'm like, it's fine. I don't have anyone waiting for me on Earth. Like, all the people I love are gone. So, honestly, this is the best, like choice for me. And she's like, you should fight. You should fight to get a spot on the escape pod. And I'm like, I'm tired of fighting. I'm done fighting. Like, I'm okay. Like, just let me do this. Like, fuck, let me do this. And she's like, it's not safe for you to be on this ship anymore. And that's what I'm starting to realize. Like, because at first I thought she was like, this was like a speech of like trying to convince me to keep on fighting, keep on living. Life is worth living kind of thing. But now I'm starting to realize that maybe that's not what she's trying to say. Maybe she's trying to tell me that there's something on this ship that is dangerous. Then it cuts to the crew. So Captain Morgana left to go do something, and she left the rest of the crew in the common area. And Anna and Junior are like trying their best to kind of like calm down Jackson because he is seething. He's really upset. And Michelson is kind of just pacing back and forth. And he's just like, oh, fuck. Like, I didn't know she, like, if I knew that was the reason why she was on the ship, I wouldn't have treated her the way that I did. And Jackson's like, well, you really didn't really give her a chance to like explain herself. And he's like, well, how was I supposed to know she's a fucking, never mind. And he's like, no, like, finish your sentence. She's a fucking what? What is she? And he's like, never mind. It's fine. Okay. I just feel bad now. And he's like, you should feel bad. You treated her like shit. And he's like, okay, get off your fucking high horse, Jackson. I wasn't the only one treating her like shit. You were treating her like shit too. Okay. We were all treating her like absolute shit. And Anna's like, I wasn't involved in anything. And he's like, oh, come on. You laughed at the jokes we made. Okay. We're all in the same boat. And I come running in and they all stop talking and they look at me like deer in headlights. And they're like, Howa, did you hear anything? And I'm like, what? No, guys, I think there's something wrong with Candy. She's saying like some really weird stuff. And so I bring them over to where Candy is, and she's at the bridge, and I had her sit down, and Candy keeps repeating the same thing that like, we need to leave the ship as soon as possible. It's not safe for us to be on the ship. And I'm like, do you guys think that maybe this is galactical warfare? Like, maybe that asteroid shower wasn't a coincidence. Maybe there is something actually wrong. Like, maybe there's an intruder on the ship. And Junior is like looking at her mechanics and everything, and he has a very serious look on his face. And then he gets angry. And he's like, we need to find Captain Morgana right now. And we're like, what? What's wrong? And he's like, this isn't some like aliens doing. This is simple human error. Someone sabotaged Candy. We need to find Captain Morgana right now. And so we start looking for Captain Morgana. We look everywhere on the ship. She is nowhere to be found. We finally all like reconnect at the escape pods, and one of the escape pods are missing. Yeah. Fuck Captain Morgana. Fuck her, dude. Like, what the hell? And how the escape pods work is that they automatically have coordinates to Earth. So if you use the escape pod, they're automatically going to go to Earth. So she already left, leaving the rest of us here. And so everyone starts to freak out. And the girlies start fighting because none of them want to be the one that's left here. None of them want, because everything that has happened has been human error. None of them want to stay. I don't blame them. So they start fighting. Michelson's trying to calm everyone down, being like, let's have another meeting. Let's try to discuss, you know, taking his role as like captain now, since he's the second in command. And no one's listening to him. They're trying to fight to get into one of the pods. And then everything, like the dream just blacks out, completely blacks out. And it switches perspectives from me to Jackson. So now we're in Jackson's perspective. And so he wakes up on the floor of the hallway and he's really dazed, really confused. He has a horrible headache and he's looking around and the first thing he sees is me. And I'm sitting on the other side of the hallway and I have like a little milkshake and I'm kind of just drinking the milkshake and I'm watching him and I'm like, rise and shine. If you know, you know. And I'm like, rise and shine. And he's like, Hawa? And I'm like, hey, sleepyhead, you've been out for like an hour. And he's like, what happened? And he like looks around and I'm like, oh, slow down. Like, here, drink some water. And I hand him some water. And he's like, what's happened? What's going on? Where is everyone? And I'm quiet. He looks over and sees like, and he like gasps because he sees like the mangled android corpse of Candy, who is just like, it's bad. Like, her head's not attached to her body. Her limbs are completely stretched out. And he's like, what happened? And I'm like, where do you want me to start? And he's like, where's the rest of the crew? And he's like looking around and he's like, oh my God, my head, it's fucking killing me. And he touches his head and he realizes that he's like bleeding. And so he looks at the blood and he looks at me and he's like, Hawa, where's the rest of the crew? And I'm like, Jackson, you know where the rest of the crew went. And his face immediately goes pale. He jumps up and runs to where the escape pods are. All of them are gone. And he is upset is an understatement. He is like fully just irate. And I can like hear him just like destroying everything. He is just destroying the lab. He's destroying his like the medical bay, just destroying everything. He goes into Michelson's room and just destroys all the stuff in there. Like, he's having a full fit and tantrum. And while he's doing that, I'm just sitting and just sipping my little drink. Just like, strawberry. And so it cuts back to the blackout. Where basically everyone's arguing and stuff, and eventually Junior is like the first one to try to escape to one of the pods, right? But what we didn't know is that Morgana programmed Candy to attack anyone who tried to escape. I don't really know what Morgana's end goal was. I'm guessing she wanted to be the one that got to Earth first and tried to like spin a narrative that like something happened, that like maybe an alien attack happened and she had to escape or something like that. But yeah, she programmed Candy to attack anyone who tried to escape using the pods. So it tries to attack Junior. They basically overpower Candy. And me, I'm over it. I don't care anymore. So I go into the kitchen and I make myself a smoothie. And while I'm making a smoothie, they manage to overpower Candy and they destroy her. But in the process, Jackson gets knocked out cold by Candy. And is left there. And instead of them trying to help Jackson, try to give him medical aid, because, you know, he's bleeding from his head pretty badly, they decide that, like, he's knocked out. One other person has to stay on the ship. It's gonna be him. And so they all leave, leaving Jackson here. And so I come back with my smoothie, and I'm like, damn, that's crazy. I sit down with my smoothie. I have his first aid kit next to me, and I just sit and sip on my smoothie and wait for him to wake up. So that's like what happened during the blackout. Cut back to present time. Jackson's having his little fit. He basically destroys almost everything, and eventually he finds his way back to me in the hallway and just slumps in utter defeat. And I finish my drink, and so I'm just like sipping, and there's nothing in my cup. And I'm like, you should really calm down. You're gonna waste your oxygen. And he's like, shut up. Sorry, I didn't mean that. And I'm like, it's okay. You're upset. I get it. And he's like, I can't believe they would, after everything I did for them. And I'm like, yeah, it must suck. It must really suck. Sorry. And I like kicked the first aid kit to him. And I'm like, here, you might want to use that to bandage your wound. And he like looks at me and rolls his eyes and he starts to bandage his wound. And then he starts to laugh. And he's like, I guess you think I deserve this. And I'm like, no, I don't think you deserve this. What they did was really messed up. They shouldn't have done that to you. I'm really sorry they did that. And he's like, this is like some fucked up karma. Maybe I do deserve it. And I'm like, you don't deserve this, Jackson. No one deserves this. This is just a fucked up situation. And you got this shorter end of the stick. And he's like, what about you? And I'm like, you're not like mad at them for like leaving you here? And I'm like, I volunteered. Remember, like, I chose to be here. And he's like, yeah, sorry, I forgot. And he sighs and he like hits his head against the wall a couple of times. And he's like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And then he just bursts into tears and he starts crying. And I should be enjoying this, but I'm not. I'm not enjoying this. I feel really bad for him, actually, because like this fucking sucks. Like none of this should have happened. All of this happened because of human fucking error. So I reluctantly go over to him and I start to comfort him and I like bandage his wound very badly. And he tells me, he's like, you did a really bad job. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. And he keeps crying. And I'm like, do you want me to make you something? Like, I can cook you something. And he's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, you know what? Like, just stay here. I'll make you something quick. And I run into the kitchen to go make him his like favorite meal, which was this like buttered pasta that was sprinkled with like cinnamon sugar and had like cinnamon walnuts in it and almonds. And so I make that for him and I bring it back and I give it to him with like a drink. And he like thanks me and he like wipes his tears and he like starts eating. And I like I watch him for a little bit. And then I'm like, hey, can I ask you a question? And he's like, yeah, what's up? And I'm like, what's up with this dish? Because like it's very unique. Trying to be like kind of guide because I don't want to like bash this dish. Like it might mean something to him. And it does. And he's like, oh, my little weird pasta concoction. Like what, you think it's weird? And I'm like, no, I don't think it's weird. I just never seen sweet pasta before. And he explains to me that like this dish was like the dish his mom used to make him when they didn't have any food in the house. And he's like, yeah, like anytime I eat it, it tastes like home. And she always added like a secret ingredient into it. And I'm like, oh my god, what was the secret ingredient? And he's like, guess. And I was like, fairy dust. And he's like, what the fuck? No, how, it was love. The secret ingredient was love. And I was like, oh, I mean, okay. And he's like, what, it's not cool enough for you? And I was like, I mean, fairy dust would be cooler. And so we laugh and he's like, yeah, like I make this dish for my daughter all the time. And I'm like, oh, you have a daughter? And he's like, yeah, she's waiting for me on Earth. She's like 6 years old. And he talks about his daughter and I feel so bad for him because he doesn't deserve this. Like it doesn't matter how horrible he was to me, he has a daughter waiting for him and they just left him here. And yes, someone had to stay, and the one person who should have stayed is the person who left first. The captain always goes down with the ship. That is what is supposed to happen. So I feel horrible. And he like tells me all about his daughter and how like he has full custody of her and like it's gonna be so weird for her to like not have him in her life anymore and all that stuff. And he starts getting emotional and I'm like, I'm so sorry, Jackson. And he's like, I deserve this. And I'm like, no, you don't deserve this. Stop saying that. You don't deserve this at all. No one deserves this. This is just like a fucked up situation. This is just a fucked up situation. And he's like, well, do you have any favorite foods that remind you of home? And I think for a few seconds and I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I do have a dish that reminds me of home. And he's like, well, what is it? Tell me. I want to know. I told you mine. You tell me yours. And I'm like, no, you're going to make fun of me. And he's like, I'm not. I'm literally turning a new leaf right now. Like, I'm not going to make fun of you. I promise. Just tell me. And I'm like, okay, it's cow feet. And he's like, cow feet? And I'm like, see, you're going to make fun of me. He's like, no, I'm not going to make fun of you. It's just you were roasting my sweet pasta and you're eating cow feet. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. I deserve it. And so I explained the dish to him. I feel like I've talked about it on the podcast before, but cow feet is like this really thick stew that you eat with bread. And I tell him about like the memories I have of like when I was younger, my mom would make cow feet, and it like it takes a really long time to cook it because you have to like simmer it for a really long time. So she'd make it in a crock pot and she let it simmer on low all night, and so when we woke up Saturday morning the whole house would smell of this like stew, and it smelled so good. And we would all like eat it family style. So my mom would get this giant plate and fill it with the stew, and then we would sit on the floor together as a family and we would eat the stew together. And it was so delicious. It was so good. And like the memory is just like so etched into my brain. And like my dad would go to like the local grocery store. There was like the, you know, like the big chain grocery stores and then like the smaller local ones. And so he'd go there and get like a fresh baguette and then come back. And so we would have cow feet and like the freshest bread, and we would just eat and talk together. And I'm like, yeah, that's my favorite stew. It's like when I eat it, it feels like home. And he looks at me for a few seconds and he's like, should we make it right now? And I'm like, no, we can't. And he's like, come on, you can teach me about your little cow feet stew and how to make it. And I'm like, no, we're gonna be dead before we can make it. And we both kind of go silent because that's a mood killer, Hawa. And he slowly like pushes the bowl towards me and he's like, you should try a bite. And I'm like, ah, no, I'm good. It's all right. And he's like, come on, don't knock it till you try. Besides, it tastes a lot better when you're sharing with someone. And so I sigh and I take a bite, and it's actually pretty good. It's actually really good. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. And he's like, see, I told you. What did I tell you? It's delicious. And so we both share the bowl of pasta. And time continues to move forward. And as it does, we like get to know each other, because I only knew Jackson as my bully. I didn't know anything about him, but I'm learning more about him and his daughter and just his life on Earth. And I'm like really intrigued about it. And he's getting to learn more about me. And eventually, he finally apologizes for everything. And specifically, I remember him saying, like, I don't know why I did it. I just did. And I'm really sorry. And I have a feeling the reason why he said that is, again, I don't know why the real Jackson did all those things. So Dream Jackson wouldn't know why he did those things either. So that's why he doesn't have anything to say about that. But he apologized. And I'm like, you know what? I accept your apology because we're both going to die anyway. And as we stay on the ship, the oxygen depletes more and more, and we are both slowly getting weaker and weaker. At one point, Jackson found like a giant bottle of whiskey that was hidden in Captain Morgana's evil lair. It was her living quarters, but we don't like her anymore. So he finds that and he starts drinking it, and he offers me some, and I'm like, oh no, I don't drink. So he runs to the fridge and grabs me like an apple juice, and he's like, there, now we can drink together. And so we drink together, and we're just like watching. Looking out the window and kind of just looking at the stars, and we can like see Earth. And it looks so close, but it's not. Like, we're so far away from it. There's no way we'd be able to get to it. Like, just get into a freaking spacesuit and like float down to Earth. Impossible. Also, we would burn before we even like reached Earth. But yeah, so we just look at Earth and we watch it go by. And then soon we got weaker and weaker and weaker. And at one point, Jackson looks over at me and he's like, hey, I have a weird request to ask you. And I'm like, look, dude, I'm not gonna make you any more pasta. I just made it because you're sad and I'm not making you anymore. And he's like, no, that's not it. That's not it. Okay, I'm gonna ask you, and you can just tell me to fuck off if you don't want to do it. And I'm like, okay. And I sit up slightly and I'm like, okay, what? And he's like, can I hold you? And I'm like, you what? I'm like, what? And he's like, can I hold you just for a little bit? And I'm like, why? And he's like, I don't want to die alone. And I'm like, you're not gonna die alone. I'm here. We're in the same spaceship together. You're not gonna die alone. And he's like, yeah, I know. I don't want to be alone. And I look at him for a few moments before I like open my arms up and I'm like, all right, come here, big head, only for a few minutes. Okay, only for a few minutes. And he's like, you're sure? And I'm like, yeah, come here, big head. And he's like, okay, my head's not that big. And I'm like, shh, you've bullied me my entire life. Okay, let me have this. And he's like, okay, my big head is coming. And so we hug each other really tightly. And I completely understand what he was saying. He didn't want to be alone. Like, he didn't want to spend his final moments just by himself, but in someone else's arms. Because I felt the same way, but I wasn't going to voice it. So I'm glad he did. And so we hug each other and we kind of just cuddle and hold each other. And he's like, this is nice. And I'm like, yeah, this is nice. And we just stay like that for a little bit. And I told him, like, oh, we're only going to do this for a few minutes. Nah. It wasn't a few minutes. We stayed like that till our final moments, our literal last breaths. We stayed in each other's arms. And in those final moments, I kept thinking about, like, when people come and find us, like, what are they going to think? You know, because Candy is completely mangled and destroyed and the entire spaceship is a mess. And then they're going to find us lying dead in each other's arms, and they're gonna make assumptions about our relationship and our friendship and all of that jazz, and they're not gonna know, like, the complex history that Jackson and I have, because even now I still hate him, right? And I feel like I'm justified. He made my life a living hell, and in real life I didn't even tell you some of the, like, worst, horrible things he did to me. That stuff that I, like, told you earlier, that's just the surface of the things that he did to me. Like, he did awful, awful things. And the things that he did in my dream were, like, a lot less, because otherwise I just wouldn't. I would have just, like, woken up, honestly. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, with everything that is going on and that's currently happening right now, it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. And I'm content and I'm okay with whatever, like, assumptions they're going to have about us, assumptions they're going to have about the ship and, like, what happened. Like, I don't care anymore. I'm okay. And despite the feelings that I have for Jackson that are very complex, and I can just let it all go. Like, yeah, I'm allowed to have all these complex feelings and emotions about him. I'm allowed to be super angry at him and also feel really bad for him. I'm allowed to hate him and also want to seek comfort in my final moments. I'm allowed to have all of these feelings, and he's allowed to have the same feelings about me. But right now, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't seem to matter right now. And so I'm just going to let it go and just live in this final moment. Which is kind of ironic when you think about it, because the person who caused me, like, the most distress while in school is now the person that I am seeking and receiving comfort from in my final moments. Again, irony in this dream. Crazy. And so, as I'm laying on his chest, I'm listening to his breathing slowly get shallower and shallower and slower and slower. And I look up at him and he just looks at peace. And I wanted to say something to him, but I have no idea what it was. Like, I, like, forgot it. And so I, like, changed my mind and I just snuggled deeper into his chest and closed my eyes. And I just allow myself to drift off to sleep. And the literal last thought that I had before waking up was, I get to see my family again. I'm so happy. And then I woke up. And that was my dream. I run to you. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that dream. I have some love-hate relationship with this dream. I think plot-wise, story-wise, it's a really good dream. I hate the fact that Jackson was in it. I wish literally anyone else was in this dream besides Jackson. But yeah, I think it's a pretty good dream. There are some parts, like, I want to apologize again, like, for laughing at some parts, just because in some parts of the dream, it felt like I was watching, like, a Disney Channel sitcom, like Lab Rats, the way things were delivered. like, the part where, like, Jackson reveals to everyone why I'm really on the ship, like, that felt so Disney Channel. And, like, I could literally hear the laugh track being like, like, that made me giggle. But I think the dream is pretty good. I am a lot more healed than I was when I had this dream, especially, I think, the second time I had this dream, I had this August of 2021, and I literally tried taking my life again, I think, in October of 2021. So it's kind of interesting that that dream showed up before another suicide attempt. I'm a lot better now. I promise. I've been in therapy. I've been getting help. I haven't had any suicidal thoughts or ideation in a while now. I have my bad days, you know? I think everyone does, but I am okay and I am doing a lot better. And I just want to let you know, if you're dealing with anything like this, like suicidal thoughts, suicidal ideation, bullying, I promise you, it will get better. I promise. I know. I used to hate when people said that to me because I'm like, I don't feel good right now. I feel horrible right now. But I do promise it does get better. And I'm so glad that you're here with me, my sun, moon, and stars. I'm so glad you're here with me. I put some resources down below for national hotlines around the world that you can call if you're struggling with these thoughts and feelings. So be sure to check those out. And yeah, enough of the sad topics. Enough of it. Okay, let's talk about something a little bit lighter. Next week, I will be sharing the dream that you guys voted for on the polls. So if you want to vote for what dream I share next week, you can either go on Spotify and go to the last episode, which is episode 39. There's a little poll where you can vote on which dream you want to listen to for next week's episode. So, and if you can't vote there, you can also vote on the Instagram at underscore it's just a dream podcast. Just go to the poll highlights and click all the way to the most recent one and you can vote on what dream you want to listen to. Okay. Right now in first place, swimming pools is in first place, followed by It Hurts a Bit, and lastly, Memorial. Memorial is losing. Like, only one person voted. I think one or two people voted for Memorial. But swimming pools is in the lead. So if you want the dream that you want to hear to win, you gotta go vote. I'll give you guys a quick refresher on each dream. So swimming pools is a time loop dream that inspired the dream series Hey Lover. I had this dream before I had Hey Lover, and I think that inspired it a little bit. It is a time loop dream where I am stuck in high school, my senior year, and I keep drowning in the school pool and I can't figure out why. And then one day I see a girl that I've never seen before. It Hurts a Bit is like a mystery thriller dream where I have to solve a murder, but the murder is my murder. Someone killed me and I have to figure out who did and why. It's also like kind of like a superhero dream because I have superpowers in this dream. And Memorial is also a mystery thriller dream where a teacher from my college town passes away and I go to that funeral. I meet some of my old classmates, so Zion, Caden, that little posse. I meet them at the funeral and we end up getting locked in the church and some truths are revealed. Ooh, so if you want to vote on them, Spotify or Instagram, that's the way to go. And yeah, thank you so much for staying up with us. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at underscore it's just a dream podcast. Over there, I post a lot of stuff like dream facts, dream quotes, quotes from characters in my dreams, quotes I like in general. I do little reels for new episodes. I shitpost on my story, especially the first 30 minutes after I post an episode. I will shitpost a little bit and post my favorite memes that I saw during the week. So if you want to see all that, you might want to go check out my Instagram. And if anything happens that like causes me not to upload an episode, you would find out over there. So yeah, if you have any crazy, wild, scary dreams that you want us to analyze, be sure to send them to us at itsjustadreampodcast2@gmail.com. Again, itsjustadreampodcast2@gmail.com, and we would be more than happy to share your crazy dreams. Have you ever had a melodramatic soap opera-esque spaceship dream? Let me know. Have you had an alien dream in general? Let me know. I've had a few. I had one alien dream where the aliens forced us to make, like, they forced us in like a water park and forced us to make water slides for them. Weird. Let me know if you guys want to hear that. But let me know if you had a dream. If not, if you don't want to share your dream, but you want me to hear your beautiful voice, there's a link in the description box below to send a little voice note. And I'd be happy to hear your voices, my sun, moon, and stars. That would make my day. Thank you to my $5 tier Patreon user, Leah Eckhart. You are my sun, you are my moon, and you are all my stars. Thank you so much for your support, and I truly appreciate it. If you want to hear your name at the end of every episode till the day I die, consider pledging to my Patreon if you have the funds. I am not desperate for money. If you do not have money, do not pledge to my Patreon. Okay? I have something coming up, a web series for the podcast, but I can't share too much. So that will be something that I will be releasing on my Patreon. So if you want to see that, you might have to pledge. Last but not least, be sure to check the link in the description box below on ways you can help all around the world. There are links to help with the war that is still going on in Ukraine. There are links down below to help with the genocide happening in Gaza, the genocide happening in Sudan, in Yemen, so many places, dude. It is so important to help those who have their voices being silenced and being censored by the media. It is so, so, so important. I cannot express that enough. And we should do our part to help those in need. And so, yeah, many links down there below. So just check them out. And you do not have to donate money. There's literally a link for specifically for the Gaza one. There's a link down below where all you have to do is click a button. That's it. Every day you click a button and you're helping. So if you can't even do that, girl, I don't know what to tell you. But there are so many ways that you can help besides donating money. So please check out those links in the description box below. Yeah, that's everything I have for you, my sun, moon, and stars. Thank you so much for staying up with me and listening to my crazy, wild, fun dreams. I love sharing them with you. I'm so happy we get to spend every week together. And yeah, with all of that being said, sweet dreams, sleep tight, I love you, good night, we'll see you soon till we dream again, bye-bye!
Greatest gift.